with the coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, folks. Jared, I want you to do something here just to start off the show. I've got this thing gurgling up inside of me. I want to make sure I get it out. Jared, pull up, if you will, my commentary from today, and also pull up Romans 13 for me, if you will, folks. You know, we're deep. I don't even know. Time goes by so quickly, so fast. I don't even know how long we've been dealing with this coronavirus situation. We're going to be joined by Mark Sutherland from across the pond at the UK today, going to give us a little bit of an update of what's going on over there. But I spend a lot of time doing research, folks. A lot of time. I try not to bring anything to you that I haven't somewhat verified or somewhat, at least in my mind, makes sense to the point that I'm going to open it up. And like everything else, Ronald Reagan said, "Trust but verify." So when I bring something to you, it's not the gospel. This is a theology-free zone. This is a free thought area, and you're allowed to have a different opinion than what I have here. But I look at a lot of, there's a lot of great research going out there. Thank God for the internet. Who knows where we would be today were it not for it. But also, it's a curse because of what the enemy is able to do with the internet as well, and their ability to control it. And we become dependent on the internet. And, you know, I was talking to some guys the other day. This is another project that I have to get after, is getting a shortwave system set up so that we can communicate with each other. Cause you guys wouldn't be surprised, would you, if all of a sudden, boom, everything went down, shut off the internet. They shut off the cell phones. They shut off all means of communication, which, by the way, is what I think is going on in the midst of all this stuff. You do know this is not about the virus. I hope you understand that the virus is real. Certainly it's real. People are getting sick. Certainly people are going to die. But you never let a crisis go to waste. That's what this thing is all about. It's going on. It's financial. It's governmental. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of them. One of the things that I find myself in direct opposition with so many people about is what our response is supposed to be with it. So, hey, Mark, just bear with me a second. We'll get to you in a second. Jared, pull up Romans 13. I think this is important because I'm going to ask it again. Can somebody explain to me or give me a name? I'm going to wait a second. With the exception of Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. And of course, I hear people say, well, he's a lunatic. He's a, what's the word they use? He's an apostate. Okay, well, all right. With the exception of Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, can anybody tell me one, I'm gonna wait and then I'm gonna give you a chance. One national Christian who has raised, any questions at all about the government overreach. I'm gonna wait right now. Any national Christian leader who's burped even about governmental overreach in this. I'm going to wait a second. Somebody give me one. Oh, wait, national. How about international? I'm waiting for one.
I've been waiting a long time.
Probably just Jerry Falwell from his grave. That's about it.
Well, it's because of Romans 13, Jared. Pull that up there for us. I'm going to try to. I wrote about this today. Mark, just stay with me. I got to get this out of there. Don't ever forget this. Context is everything. All right. Romans 13 was written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, to Christians about Christian government. Okay. Don't ever miss this. This was not Jesus Christ speaking to the Roman world or speaking to the Gentile. This is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to Christians, about Christian government. Okay? Got to keep it in perspective. This was not Ronald Reagan, or this was not the Apostle Paul anointing Donald Trump or Ronald Reagan or whoever he went to, or the Senate. It says, let every soul be subject unto the high powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, now wait a minute. So God is above any power. We would all agree with that, right? God is above government. God is above government. Okay, you with me? Stay with me. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, which power? The higher power ordained by God. not just any power, not just any governmental power. Whoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. So if they are resisting the ordinances of God, they are resisting God. Folks, come on, this isn't hard. This doesn't say always obey the government. Whoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. That is, if godly leadership are promoting godly values, we are to obey them. And they that resist shall receive them to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good work. Folks, if you find good works being terrorized, if you find those who are working good works being terrorized, you know that is not in obedience to God. This is simple, folks. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And so what we have is we have elected officials protecting baby killers at Planned Parenthood and arresting those who are trying to do good by rescuing the babies. You see, come on. But for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Folks, which power are they talking about here? Godly power. Do that which is good, rescue babies, and you shall have praise of the powers. This way I'm reading it. Of course, I haven't had some pastor tell me otherwise. He hasn't done a hermeneutics ride on me and straightened me out here. Or he, what? The ruler is the minister of God to thee for good. Is Nancy Pelosi a minister of God to me for good? You're not that stupid, are you? But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Killing babies, evil, be afraid. Rescuing babies, good, don't be afraid. In fact, the government will pat you on the back for do that. Right? For he beareth not the sword in vain. Who? The minister of God. The minister of God for good. Well, he is the minister of God. Watch this, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. We have got this so messed up. This is Christian government. Christian government. Obeying Christian leadership. Christian government. Obeying Christian leadership. Not evil government. Okay? Call me later. I'm on the air. Just relax here, right? And so what they're telling us today, all of those, how do I make this stop? I do this, I guess. There. All of the ministry, again, one national leader standing up and saying, pardon me, sir, Mr. Government, Mr. Minister of God, government or official, minister of God for good, you have overstepped your bounds. Sir, I'm waiting. One national Christian figure. I'm waiting. Go ahead. No. You're not going to find any because they rush to appear to be good little Romans. Good little Romans. Obedient to government. Obey. Social distance, I saw one yesterday that about made me gag. Drive through churches, I'm not making it up, where the pastor stands out and lays his hands on each car as they drive by, coming by to get their weekly blessing from the minister of God who is allowing evil to run rampant and telling us to obey evil. Am I alone in here this morning? Jared, pull my commentary up today. Hey, that's what Romans 13 says. That's what Romans. Yes,
you said context. That is a key word. Okay, you know how the chapters they're not there really. If you think about it, it may be a new paragraph, but the context of the whole chapter is verse 21 of chapter 12. It says, "Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That is a verb. Overcome evil with good. Mm-hmm. That's Amen. Context.
Amen. Amen. And so we're supposed to, government is supposed to help us overcome evil. That's the purpose of government, friends. And when government is helping us, see, are you, we're to obey God rather than stay with me. I wrote this today. I got to get this out, okay? I love my country, but I hate the government. Is it okay for me to say that? I hate everything about the cronyism and the fact that justice and liberty can be bought. You certainly aren't foolish enough to believe that all Americans are treated the same, are you? You realize that those in government, those who buy off elected officials, are treated differently than the average Joe who's fighting hard to live life here in America. As my friend Doug Hagman so aptly puts it, we have a legal system and not a justice system. There's only justice in America if you figured out a way to buy your position in the club. And there is a club. The average American is not in it. Some might be called the deep state, but it's so much bigger than that. Influence peddling is the name of the game, and the average American is so busy working to keep up with his growing tax bill that he doesn't have time to actually get involved in making a difference. Heck, even local politics are rigged. Power brokers in small towns are no different than the boys in Washington. They just simply swim in a smaller swamp. Local government is the minor leagues for those who aspire to serve the people. Yeah, right. Public servants. Give me a freaking break. The prissy pastors are complicit in this whole mess. During the recent pandemics, they stumbled all over themselves in an attempt to be the first member of the clergy to show how obedient they were to the government. The time of America's greatest crisis, the church leaders encouraged the goats to obey the government and shelter in place. That's what good little obedient sheep do. Shut down the church, obey their masters, because the government loves you. What would Jesus do? Can you find one time in all the scriptures where Jesus advised his followers to shelter in place? Did he encourage them to run from danger or to run toward the danger? Is there one instance of Jesus anywhere in the scriptures calling for his followers to retreat? Shelter in place, self-quarantine, hide from danger, or my personal favorite, obey the government. Obey the government, coach. Christians are supposed to obey the government. We model obedience for the rest of the people. Haven't you read Romans 13? Yeah, I actually have read it. It instructs us to obey righteous government, not tyrannical government. Paul told us that elected officials were ministers of God for good. Are you telling me that the ragtag miscreants that we see running America are ministers? What? What happened when those ministers start ministering bad things? Do we still obey them? Remember, this is the same cabal of ministers who gave us child sacrifice, sodomite marriage, pornography as sewage in our streets, and government robbery masquerading as taxation. Yep, that's those ministers, all right. Now the benevolent bastards want to give you back your own money. Why don't they cancel all taxation until we right the ship? We're broke. Yet they want to give us $6 trillion in stimulus from a pot that's already empty. Money's fake. Simply digits on a budget sheet, and our dollars fake money, monopoly money. How about this verse, my Romans 13 loving friends? The Lord hates unjust weights and measures. And you say phony money? Ever heard the term not worth a continental? That's the American greenback, boys and girls. A dollar ain't worth nothing. Created out of thin air. Now the ministers want to return $1,200 to you out of your weekly government tithe. The Apostle Paul wrote nearly two-thirds of the New Testament, much of it from jail. And for a guy who's credited with telling the rest of the Christians to obey the government, he sure set a poor example himself. His buddy Peter told us to obey God rather than man. Were these two writers schizophrenic? What do you do when government disobeys God? It's time we faced it, Christians. Our government is lawless and godless. Those two adjectives go hand in hand. Godlessness leads to lawlessness because everyone ends up doing what is right in their own eyes. The most massive abuse of liberty in American history is happening before our very eyes, all in the name of government keeping us safe. I didn't ask for the government's help. I didn't ask them to protect me from a virus. They didn't get my approval before they shut down the nation by squashing all of my political freedom. Did you vote for that? Benjamin Franklin warned us that those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Bingo, Ben. Americans will go down cowering in our closets, obedient to the government tyrants masquerading as ministers. Nothing about our government is righteous. Nothing. Thomas Jefferson warned us that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Today's pulpits bow to the tyrannical ministers who got us in this mess in the first place. I'm sick of the government. I'm sick of the cowardly, compliant clergy. I'm sick of what has happened to our country. We have the most cowardly Christian leadership in the history of Christendom right now in the United States, right now.
Amen.
Samuel Adams put it best. He says, if you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating cost of freedom, well, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Aren't you sick of it? Where in the Hades are our brave Christian leaders? America is sinking into a police state. D.S. Lewis said, in such a fearful world, we need a fearless church. Rise up, O men of God. The window is closing. Things will get a lot worse before they get better. The tyrants are coming. May your chains set loosely. So we're in a conflict here, aren't we? Obedience to tyranny or obedience to liberty. We're in a conflict. And the Christians, who are supposed to be the true ministers of God for good, are falling in line in compliance to a tyrannical government. Somebody comment. Somebody help me out. Because I think that is a bingo.
Coach, if you'll pull up 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15, especially the New American Standard, it tells you what you just said is the will of God. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15, New American Standard.
What's going on now?
And people never read this when they look at Romans 13. New American Standard has it clearly laid out.
Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. We are not to obey evil government. Period. Come on in, somebody.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Joe.
I noticed, and this is for the listeners of the show, that I think a couple of times, maybe three times, you spelled America with a K.
Uh-huh.
What was very the purpose observant. Of that?
Very observant, right? Yeah. Everything, don't ever forget, everything Hitler did was legal. Don't ever forget that, right? Everything he did. So they change the laws on us. They rewrite the laws. They get court decisions to, folks, see, they are crushing us through money.
Part of the problem, Coach, is the people don't know the difference between law and statute. Statute is that every man did according to his own ideas. We got our statutes from people who are pushing their ideas. The law is very specific.
The law is very specific. I got a lot of things I want to show today. I want to show a video. I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to bring Mark Sutherland in because Mark's across the pond. See, hey, friends, listen. This is what's going on right now is going on. It's not just in America. If you ever in your life ever wanted to maybe take your hat off, I still need a haircut, by the way. and put on your tinfoil hat and wonder if a new world order was really real. Ask yourself, why is this going on everywhere? Everywhere. Every country shutting down. Every government ordering the people to obey, to cease and desist. Every government. And the last one that you would think, the one most difficult you would think to cease and desist business would be the good old U.S. of A. We're the beacon of liberty. We're the light of the world. We're the shining city set on a hill. And they close down our constitutional rights without a whimper. What's it like over in the UK, Mark? You're muted, Mark. We're still here, Mark. I mean, focus.
Coach, I just want to say while he's waiting on that is that, see, America is the battleground country.
It is, brother.
As America goes, so shall the world.
We are the standard of freedom and liberty in the world. If America goes down, it's over. Go, Jeff.
Just to share with you, I've drawn a little attention yesterday. I got my car lot open. And I know everybody comes there coming in saying, are you supposed to be open? I said, I'm going to be open. I don't care. So we've got the ice cream truck park out there. And I already had this thing full of ice cream about a week ago. So I got the public road on the front side. You know where I'm at. The public sidewalk. I got the bike path behind me. People are out. They are out and about. We drew in probably 50, 60 people. I've got free groceries in the back of that ice cream truck bagged up. Got ice cream freezer full. You ought to see all the adults and kids congregating in this parking lot. I'm getting to share with them about this corruption, and they all agree. Then I'm getting to invite them to church either on Sunday or Tuesday night church. And these people are loving it. So we're going to have another day today. We're going to have that baby sitting out there. Can't you just see somebody sending the cops into me to shut this place down?
Yeah, I can see that. Sure, sure. Good for you, Jeff. Mark, are you there yet, brother?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. What the heck's wrong with you Brits?
I don't know. Anyway.
Because, Mark, this isn't just an American thing going on, is it?
No, this is totally worldwide. And I want to read you something. I mean, this is happening here. This, of course, is happening in Australia, Canada. And I mentioned those countries specifically because I have friends out there. It's happening all over. But the issue is this whole information war, and I couldn't agree with you more. I just want to say something quite sarcastically now. You know, I mean, people like Joel Osteen, how does your best life now look now, Joel? Mm-hmm. You know, why aren't you talking? I mean, people like Rick Warren, the purpose-driven drivel, where are these people? Well, they're all part of this.
Why aren't they standing up for liberties, Mark? Why aren't they
Because at the end of the day, they don't believe in it. You've said it. It's a new world order. That's what's happening. I think Senior Bush in 1990 announced, you know, we have the, or 91, we have the opportunity. I won't do the accent because I get criticized. We have the opportunity to create a new world order. In this spiritual battle, we turn around and say that the wall came down of communism came down in 1989. I've said this a number of times, and it moved to the West. I mean, you know that I recently made a short film, The Iris Echo, that talks about totalitarianism. Here we are. Here we exactly are. So for us, we have now been locked down. So this is like day three, four of locking down the whole of the country.
Mark, hang on a second. Mark, this is martial law. They're just not calling it, right? It is martial law.
Yeah, you are right. You are right. What it is trying to do, and there is a couple of key things to read out here. We use the term policing by consent over here. The public give the authority the consent. Now, your constitutional, the president's responsibility is to defend the country from enemies without, and also to then have, you know, to make sure that there is order within. But in regard to that, there should be a complete retraction of government interference. We over here have such a mixed economy in regard to free market and socialism. Exactly, that is what's going on. But no, you are right. We're not denying, Coach, that this virus doesn't exist. It does exist. But what is going on? And there's a number of things I want to read that people have already got out there. My concern is, if we get through this, what is the new normal going to be, Dave? What is the new normal going to look like? That's the question that we ought to ask ourselves right now. What does this actually mean? And you have a Second Amendment. I'm not encouraging violence. You have a Second Amendment for a reason, which basically is to protect, I always thought, against a tyrannical government. Okay. So can I read a few things, Dave? Because we need, I just want to go, yeah, I want Mark, to go.
Important for people to understand. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Folks, yeah. Don't worry.
Rights surrendered are hardly ever regained.
Precisely. Huh?
So the next time, let's say we get through this this coronavirus scare.
Yeah.
Precedent's already been set, right?
Yes.
And they'll say to 2 years from now, well, you remember how we shut down during the coronavirus? This is not the first time that we've done this.
Precisely. And as Emmanuel said, that guy Emmanuel, the mayor of Chicago, said, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. I posted this morning on Facebook. There was in February. There was an article put up that if for those people, the health secretary over here would even consider the fact that for those people that objected to mandatory vaccinations, he would then have to push that into law, that these people would have to accept that. There's even a debate that if people pushed anti-vaccine comments on social media, then they need to actually be prosecuted as well. And you're absolutely right. Where are our senior church leaders over here saying anything about this? No, because they're all part of it. And you know what scripture says when people go, oh, we're seeking peace, peace, peace. And then what comes behind? Coach, like you, I'm not a theologian, and I posted your article this morning, which is excellent. I'm not a theologian. We know what the book of Revelation says. We see potentially what is also coming down the line, and we have to say that. But there are so many people that are totally asleep and are not paying attention to what is going on around them within their world. And I will say this, absolutely right. If America goes down, then the whole of what you and I have said this to each other face to face and on your program. If America goes down, then the whole of Western civilization goes down and is finished. But it seems that people seem to be comfortable with bread and circuses, with their phones, with all this electronic stuff, and are willing to give up freedoms. And that is not, personally, that's not how you and I are wired. We're not wired like that at all.
No, never. It's not in our blood. It's not in our American Christian DNA for sure. No. But we have, let's open up. Somebody come on in here a second.
You were talking about DNA yesterday, Coach. Well, yes. It got injected in the American church because it's not the same church as what our grandfathers once knew.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And the obedience, the blind obedience to government. Mark, let me go back a day on Mark, all of you. The Apostle Paul wrote the book.
You froze up.
Because he was in jail all of the time because he was opposing unrighteous government. Unrighteous government. The Apostle Paul was opposing unrighteous government. See, and folks, listen. So did Jesus. When Jesus got in trouble, what did he get in trouble for? He went to Pilate, who was the leader of the government. And Pilate said, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. He didn't do anything wrong here. But no, the people who had authority over Jesus, the church ordered the crucifixion of Jesus. It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the Romans, folks. It was the church who'd sold out to righteousness and truth and justice. They were the ones who called Jesus to account because Jesus was pointing out to them where they had failed as this phony religious system. So the people, the group that had authority over Jesus was the Sanhedrin. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the ones in authority over Jesus, and he went right to them and questioned their authority. He said to Paul, he said to Pilate, you got no power over me. You got no power over me. I thought he was under the Roman government. No, he wasn't, was he? So when people tell you that Jesus was not a revolutionary or Jesus did not oppose the government, folks, that's just a flat-out lie. That's just a flat-out lie.
Absolutely. Why did he, there's that verse that says, you know, if you don't have a sword, go out and buy one. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exactly go down very well over here because we don't seem to understand the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms, which is a whole new other issue. Why in 1776 did you have a little bit of a fracas with us? You know, I mean, the key thing is, let's look at the percentage of that. There's always been this whole thing of the 3%, whether it was 3% of you that actually fought us, the British, at that time, maybe backed up by 4% of logistics. How many actual people, percentage-wise, then actually fought us and actually won? Because you were then saying there will be no taxation without representation. So look at that history. And, of course, you were founded. I'm not here to give you guys a history lesson. We look at the fact that we left Europe. The Puritans left Europe because of religious persecution. If we go back to Tyndale, if we go back to the 1500s, if we go back to John Knox, if we go back to the martyrs up in Scotland who were being chased because of their Christian commitment, this is where we are at. We have sold, you say it in your opening song, in your opening soundtrack in regard to Evangelic Fish. We have sold a lie that says that come to Jesus and everything will be okay and there will be no persecution and that it won't be painful. We have sold that absolute lie because people like Joel Osteen, let's call them out as an example, turn around and say, have your best life now. And then with glittering teeth, look at how that man has actually fallen from what his father most probably actually stood for. This is the actual reality because the government, the world has invaded the church instead of the church invading the world. And hear me. I am talking to myself too. I'm talking to myself too. And what's happened when we go back to the New World Order and everyone, and we don't hear, but other people go, yeah. We look at how all of our institutions, that's why I want to read something out and shortly, all of our institutions have been invaded, Dave. Over here, there has been this systematic campaign to push Christians out of the public square.
Yes, sir.
You can stay in the public square as long as you then believe in this, that you are tolerant, that it's all about Jesus's love and all this kind of thing. And that he never turned any tables over. He never spoke authoritatively to anyone. He never upset anyone. And well, actually, that's the Jesus that I know. And the other thing is that people then forget, theologians hold me to account, is that when Jesus returns, he's not coming as some wimpy, you know, meek and mild. He never is. He never was. He will become as a warrior, sword in hand. You know, there is no doubt about that.
It's Mark, it's amazing that the Prince of Peace said, behold, I didn't come to bring peace. Isn't that what he said? Absolutely. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers cause division and get together. Blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah. Let's open it up. Let somebody get in here. Somebody else, come on in.
Coach, when Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, the context of that, Coach, it's about doing what's right. What's right, doing what's righteous. Stealing and funding abortion is unrighteous. You don't give that back. That's what you don't give back. A little taxation is not wrong, but it's taxation with representation. Mm-hmm. When you don't have taxation with representation, then that's when you stand up and say, no.
So we know that the income tax is unconstitutional. We know that it is. It's unconstitutional. Yeah, we continue to be enslaved by that church going along with it, by the way. So the church doesn't want to speak out against that because then they might get the strong hand of government coming down on top of them. And they don't want that, right? So we find out who our real taskmaster really is. It's the government.
Give an example of what's just been happening in Canada. Trudeau made a bid to actually be able to say that he could spend any money without coming to Parliament for a discussion until 2021. There was a pushback against that, and it will happen. He can only do that until June. To actually turn around and say that I will not go to an assembly of Parliament to be held accountable, and I can then just spend whatever. You and I were having a interesting discussion yesterday about the Federal Reserve, Dave, in the fact that if the Federal Reserve is a private bank, then why do you not just hand all the debt back to the private bank, and then the private bank will bust, but actually then go on to the gold standard, which I believe Nixon took you off and then promised it would only be for a short while. Most probably Henry Kissinger had a quiet word in his ear and said, don't ever go back on it, as a sheer and utter globalist. The thing is, you know, the enemy has been in this for the long game. I'm not being rude, but I know I talked for myself. Maybe I've only woken up to this over the last 10 years, and some other people have woken up to it a lot longer, like people like E.G. Griffin writing that brilliant book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. But wouldn't that be a concept? Hand all the debt back to the Federal Reserve, they bust, go back on the gold standard and wipe all the debt free. Someone may say to me, it's not as simple as that, but you're right.
Yes, it is. It's as simple as that. Jared, pull up my Facebook page, my little Facebook rant that I did yesterday. By the way, Jared, while I'm thinking of it, let's turn this into a YouTube video if we can, a little standalone video. Folks, help make this go viral. If you can, help make this go viral, because I think it's really, really profound. I got calls from people yesterday said, are you kidding me? Mark, bear with me a second. I wouldn't do this just because I think it's important that people get this, okay? Right on down, Jared. It's next one, I think, Jared. I should have had you prepared. I'm sorry, man. There it is. I just said, what the heck's going on? In a nutshell, I tried to go out yesterday. Next one, Jared, down. Next one. There, that one. I tried to go get a hair. Well, you'll hear the story. Go ahead, Jared. Go ahead. Hey, good morning there, folks. Oh, my goodness. I've got a story to share with you. Sitting out here in the sun, waiting for a few people to get in here. We'll give it a minute. Hey, Richard, how you doing, man? Folks, as people begin to get in here, and I've had an amazing morning. I ran into town. This is, what day is this? This Wednesday morning. I ran into town, got my mail, and ran into my barber. And I wanted to get a haircut. I said to my barber, can I get a haircut? And he kind of chuckled, says, no, David. He always calls me David. He says, no, David, you know, we're all non-essential. We're closed down. We're not able to do that. I'm not making this up. I called my dentist and tried to get a dentist appointment in to get my teeth clean. And the dentist said, no, we're only taking emergencies. We're not allowed to. Essential services, cleaning your teeth, I guess, isn't essential. And so I came home, I got on the phone, and I called Attorney General. David's in the house. I called the Attorney General's. David's inside. I'm on the phone. hey, real life, right? I called Attorney General Yost's office, and I said, I asked him a question. I said, I want to know something, Mr. Attorney General. I didn't speak to him. I spoke to one of his little wonks. I said, I can't get a haircut, and I can't get my teeth cleaned, but Planned Parenthood's still open. And anybody can you explain that to me? And his office said, well, here's the truth. Attorney General Yost, he issued the order. You hear me, folks? He issued the order, but he's not the enforcement arm. I said, he's not the enforcement arm? What do you mean? Well, so well, we issued the order that they're not allowed to be open. I said, they're still open. They're open everywhere doing abortions. I can't get my teeth cleaned. They're doing abortions. Are there abortions essential? Getting a haircut's not. Well, anyway, he said, well, actually, the local police are the ones who are responsible for enforcing the order. So I said, wait a minute. You're telling me I got to call the Columbus PD, and the Columbus PD is going to go right down there and shut down Planned Parenthood? That's what they're going to do? And he says, well, the person I'm speaking to said, well, I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but it's their job. This is their job. So I called Columbus Police Department and asked them, I reported to them that they were still killing babies down at Planned Parenthood on East Main Street in Whitehall. You know what they told me? I said, we don't enforce that. That's not our job. That's not our business. In fact, the guy got really short with me. That's not our business. It's not, but Henry Porter can't cut my hair in Hebron. Dr. Wing can't clean my teeth. But a woman can go in and have an abortion? Folks, there's something seriously wrong. See, this, I've been on this kick for quite a while. You guys know this. Unequal justice. Unequal justice. Why are some people protected by elected officials and other people aren't protected by elected officials? So here we are in the midst of this. Everybody's locked down. Nobody's allowed to go anyplace. But going to kill your baby is an essential service, right? I thought it was a choice. Doesn't a choice make abortion non-essential? Can't you choose to do it next Monday or next Tuesday? Or, golly, I need my haircut. I need my haircut. I need my teeth cleaned. Can't do it. So I picked up the phone and I called my state senator. You know what the answer I got there? Oh, we'll look into it. Then I called Speaker of the House, Larry Householder, who's my representative. And you know what? Oh, they'll pass it on to the Speaker. They'll pass it on to the Speaker. Yeah. I think it calls... See, folks, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. When are we going to wake up and when are we going to demand equal protections under the law, equal application of the law?
It goes on for about another three or four minutes, folks. But that's an actual true story. An actual true story. And I just saw some of my friends who were threatened by the police to be arrested because why? They were standing out in front of Planned Parenthood and they're not allowed to be out. What's going on, folks? What's going on, Mark? What do you think? Somebody, come in here. What's going on?
Well, I think the thing is that what I need to do is to check what's happening over here in that regard. Totally. Absolutely, totally. I mean, Coach, can I read you this? Which is, I want to read this, which is off a government website, which you were alluding to before we came on, which is where we have to weigh all this information up and balance things and find out what's going on. I want to read this, and then I just want to make one or two comments about the head of the World Health Organization. So on a government website over here, I found this last night by incredibly talking to the states, talking with Tim Brown and Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty, then finding out a woman over here on Facebook who has this, and then I tracked this down. Went straight to a government website, which is phenomenal. As of status of COVID-19, as of 19th of March 2020,
Mark, this is a government website.
This is on the government website. This is on the UK government website, right? This is on the UK government website. And we're not saying there isn't a virus. I'm not saying that. But here we go. As of 19th of March 2020, COVID-19 is no longer considered to be a high consequential infectious disease, HCID, in the UK. The Four Nations Public Health HCID group made an interim recommendation on January the 2020 to classify COVID-19 as HCID. Thank you. Brilliant, Jared, for bringing that up. This was based on consideration of the UK HCID criteria about the virus and the disease with information available during the early stages of the outbreak. Now that more is known about the COVID-19, the public health bodies in the UK have reviewed the most up-to-date information about COVID-19 against the UK HCID criteria. They have determined that several features have now changed. In particular, more information is available about mortality rates and all the rest. Now, that's on the government website saying that they have downgraded that. Jared, thank you very much. They have downgraded that. Okay, so we have to ask ourselves what's going on when there's a whole shutdown of the country and the economy of this country is about to be shoved off the cliff, off the edge, which is what is going. Now, let's just move forward, right? So then other stuff comes to light saying that the World Health Organization has criticized what the UK is basing its data on. Right. So it's criticized that in regard to data. Now, this is where
the Communist World Health Organization.
Right. Well, this is, thank you. This, well done. So we are up on, we are totally up on this. So the amazing Kelly Nelson wrote the other day on, and you may know of her, who wrote on News with Views. So let's just go through, I do apologize, let's just go through this. As you know, Chicago Mayor, we alluded to this, Democratic Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste. Gerald, I do apologize for not giving you this. The Democrats
News with Views.com, Jared. You can find Kelly Nelson.
Yeah. The Democrats are using this virus as their last chance to oust President Trump in November. The soaring economy he created is temporary in the tank, and 401ks have lost 25 to 30% of their previous gains, etc. Since the Democrats have owned the banks and the media, they're utilizing everything they can to tear down President Trump's legacy. They are absolutely thrilled with the decimation our country is experiencing from COVID-19, and they are blaming our president just like Red China, and now the increasingly unstable media, brilliant, is demanding blackouts of Trump's COVID-19 briefings. Let's just quickly cover this. As for the World Health Organization, Director Tedros Adhanom, if I murdered his name, I apologize, is the first director without a medical degree. He's also a member of the Marxist-Leninist, I just repeat, he's also a member of the Marxist-Leninist Tigray People's Liberation Front, which was founded as a communist revolutionary party that came to power in 1991. It was listed, here we go, it was listed as a terrorist group by America in the 90s. Tedros, here we go, was promoted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who financed many of the phony large-scale health operations in Ethiopia that Tedros had facilitated. Gerard, don't worry, you're doing well. The director and Bill Gates should be tried for crimes against humanity. There's a video here that we will try and find. Now, let's just quickly go down. Dr. Anthony Fauci, you know the man that stands behind Mr. Trump. You know him. The director of National Institute of Allergy, Infectious Diseases at the National Institute of Health. He has been called the nation's leading expert on infectious diseases. He has increased America's COVID-19 fear with his pessimistic statements. He's actually contradicted the president on national TV and told him he shouldn't be so hopeful. He has stated that Trump is coming at the virus from a layperson point of view, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm sorry. I have to say this, and this is my own personal opinion, little me, but if anything comes out of the World Health Organization from a man, Tedros, then turning around and bestowing the delights of China and saying, well, China's doing so well to combat this and all the rest, and you are a member of a Marxist party, you have been part of this, you are a member of a party that America said ought to be on a hit list to say, these are terrorists, then I'm really sorry. I am not going to believe a single word that comes out of your mouth. And if you are then running, hear me this. If you're then running an organization that has the word health in it, and you are not a medical doctor, you don't have a medical degree or anything like that, then frankly, as far as I'm concerned, you can go and whistle in the wind. I am not going to listen to you. But what has happened is that everyone is listening. That classic verse that says, coach, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. And I'm sorry, I weigh these things up, and I have to say, World Health Organization are saying to our government, you're not basing it on the right model. Now, something changed because I have a funny feeling they're now adhering to that and watching that. But they're prepared to do that. We are not saying that there isn't a virus, but you are sacrificing the whole of the world's economy. And at the same time, the New World Order have been trying to put in a digital dollar currency wallet, as far as I know, that I think there maybe have been a bit of a pushback. You then had the Democrats turn around and go, well, look, we get a load of stuff in this recovery bill just to benefit our corner, just to benefit our core beliefs, which is the fact that they are total and utter communists. So I can't argue with that.
The director of the World Health Organization is a communist.
Yes, he's a Marxist.
Not even a doctor.
No. He's a total and utter Marxist. I asked people to go and do the research. Kelly has done some great work there. We'll find that. Jared, thank you for trying to find that article. We'll find that article on there. But she has done some absolutely fantastic work, as other people. The other brilliant person that people need to follow, other than you, of course, is Amazing Polly.
Yes.
Amazing Polly, who's out of Canada. You love her. Let's just post her stuff all over the place. The last two or three videos, she goes on about the Marxist revolution. She's talked about the World Health Organization. She joins all of this up. And there's another article that came out today, which I won't read, but there's Bill Gates going, well, this is a bit of a spiritual issue, and the earth is groaning, the earth is sick. I mean, this is all Gaia worship. You know, you may as well. I mean, Extinction Rebellion, which you've had. Let's just make this other comment. We look at Soros, but Extinction Rebellion, I can't remember the hedge fund manager, but there was a hedge fund manager maybe over here or in Canada who they gave £200,000, dollars, Canadian dollars or whatever, to Extinction Rebellion. We know what we're dealing with. You over there are far more awake to all of these issues, and we are joining the dots as fast as we can, but they have been at this as a long game for years.
At the bottom line, Mark, this is not about a virus. The virus is being used to radically transform America, which is what Obama told us.
And the world, and the rest of the world. And the rest of the world.
The new world order at work. This is what is going on, folks. This is what is going on, folks. I'm going to say it again. A radical transformation of the world is what is going on. They're using the virus to do it with the silence of the
David and Mark. I got a question for you.
And Coach, why is it using for our ends?
Go ahead, Chad.
My question is, why is it with every other disease out there, we want to stop it? We want to stop it. Why is it with coronavirus, we only want to slow it down?
Well, because
it's their virus.
I can answer that one.
Yeah. I mean, the key thing is, and I would say, and say to other people, having just seen a figure, you know, what's happening in Italy is real. What's happening in Spain is real. It's terror. It's absolutely awful. This is what is going on. Why this is happening in the way that it is, whether that's through air travel or whatever, I don't really know. All we do know is that something has come out of China, and in whatever way that is, and there's a long trace through all the university links that they have. But
it's here, right? The coronavirus is here, right?
Yes.
Folks, it's here, okay? Yeah. The idea that we're going to avoid it, we can certainly reduce it, but it's here. Great video yesterday, again, Alex Jones and Mike Adams, the health ranger. Oh, my goodness. It's really good. Search that out. Mike Adams is all over. And he says it's very, very real and very, very dangerous. However, it's being used to strip us of our rights. America will never be the same again, friends. It will never be the same again. UK will never be the same again. There is something bigger going on than what we realize.
We need to hold all of our political leaders, whatever, to account, as you've said, right now, because I want the definition of the new normal. To me, the new normal is there will be no normal. We need to go back to exactly what it is, but there is no way that they want to do that. There'll be certain things in place. So we need to now start holding people account and saying, what do you define as the new normal?
That's right. Yes, sir.
I agree with y'all. Everything y'all have brought forth this morning, the virus is real, and they are using it, and they do intend to change things. That is why I say we have got to have our team ready when the time and the opportunity for change comes. During all this death and stuff that's going on, and there's a lot of death coming, the opportunity for changes aren't going to be really there. When this thing starts winding down and getting over, we need to be ready from jump go with solutions. It's going to happen. There's going to be changes. We need to put our changes in place, not let them go forward with their process.
Amen, Larry. I'm with you on that one, Larry.
Yeah, Larry, you're absolutely right. And the other thing is, our biggest challenge is that if people don't know Jesus, then we need to tell them about it. And that's it. It is salvation in Christ. And the fact is, we need to look for every single opportunity to do that. A dear friend of mine up in Scotland, I think, led 4 people to Christ yesterday. It was incredible. Yeah. So we can't even get out and do that. Let's work that through.
March 26th, Robert, I'm going to let you in here yesterday because we skipped you yesterday. Folks, remember, the Bible says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And what's going on? What's the devil doing? Are we assembling or is he pulling us apart? Are we assembling or are we hiding in our houses? Which is going on here? Open your eyes and understand what is happening to us. Robert, March 26th. Give it to us, brother.
Okay. Yeah, it's short, but it is to the point. It's interesting that President Trump says Easter is the time when we're going to go back to normal. And that's like Easter, right? Resurrection Day. And until the church rises up, the church is the only power that can oppose this.
Amen.
The only power. Holy Spirit-filled church, obedient church. So here it says, happy coming Resurrection Day to all Christians. I pray that the Easter religious service will become a resurrection daily lifestyle for those who truly seek to live the resurrected life. That's what we got to do, start stepping up and living the life.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, who was resurrected almost 2,000 years ago, is worthy to be the resurrected Lord of our daily lives since he is our life. That's the problem. We don't have lordship of Jesus anymore. Like the Apostle Paul, Bible-practicing Christians are to count all things lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as a resurrected Lord and live by his resurrection and imparted Holy Spirit power. Jesus must come before all worldly desires. He must come before earthly relationships, political affiliations, economic worries, and emotional concerns. He's got to be first. When Jesus, his kingdom, and his will are given first place, not the government's agenda, all else will follow in proper place. Mm-hmm. If he is for us, who can be against us? If his resurrection power resides in us, who can overcome us? If he reigns in us, no power can rule us, including the government.
Amen.
If our Heavenly Father gives us all things with his Son, then we need never feel deprived of anything. If the resurrected Lord lives in us, we need never feel handicapped. If Jesus, the way, leads us, we need not fear of getting lost. If Jesus, the truth, guides us by his Spirit, Holy Spirit, we don't have to worry about being deceived by the evil one or the media and deceived by his disguised servants of righteousness. So that's it. We got to rise up from resurrection power life and get on to be in the church.
Larry had the mic drop moment of the day, and that's it. We have to prepare for what, when this whole thing is over, are we going to let them continue to shove this new world order, big government, down our throats? Are we going to stand up and be part of whatever's being reformed? Are we going to take our place at the table and fight for the restoration of godly values? Mark Sutherland, give us a closing remark here, brother.
You've just summed it up in one, and Larry has summed it up in one. We have to be prepared. We have to be open to what's going on. But more importantly, when we have the opportunity to share the gospel, then we have to do that with those that are around that don't know him. That is actually our priority.
And then, amen, brother. Let's return to a nation where we are to obey God rather than man. Folks, government, I got a big bumper sticker on my car. It's actually on my wife's car. Government is not God. This is so easy to figure out, right? Government is not God. Mark, thanks for joining us. Clear across the pond there. We'll do it again. And again, folks, it's a worldwide pandemic because they can't change the world without having a worldwide pandemic. And we're falling for it hook, line, and sinker. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.